Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Henry Cloud and Sherry Denham, and your phone calls right here today on New Life Live.
Appreciate your show. That's why I'm calling.
The program you're getting ready to hear includes humor and some extreme examples.
I was trying to get high, and it got out of control. And my family's hurt, and my wife told me that the children are scared.
You know, at 3 years old, they're not completely identified with their gender yet.
That's a tough call. I mean,
what's tough about that?
My son-in-law has framed me in a certain framework right now.
Imagine that.
What a surprise.
She doesn't have control of you. So she's really not controlling at that point. She's just probably frustrated.
You have your umbilical cord and you keep trying to plug it into people to say, will you nurture me?
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Henry Cloud. Hello, Henry.
Hey, Stevie.
Dr. Sherry Denham.
Hello,
Sherry. And look at this. Look at this. This is the bib that you can download on the website to be part of the New Life 5K. It's actually Club New Life's 5K, and we call it the Race for New Life. Now, here's the deal. It's a 5K walk run done in your own hometown. When you call us or sign up online, you sign up online, it's a $30 registration fee, which goes to help us pay for radio, because whenever you do one of these things, there's a registration fee. All right. And so then you complete this by April the 17th. If you get 11 people to sponsor you at $10 a person, that pays for one day of radio.
Wow.
So you just say, look, I'm going to do my five. If I do my five, will you, $10, 11 people, that's what we're looking for.
Say that again.
Well, 11 people. It's 11 people. And then all you need to do is do your own 5K walk run in your own neighborhood.
Your own
you could walk around your own block.
11 people, $10.
Times.
Yeah. You say, hey, I'm going to do this run. It's for New Life. Would you sponsor me at $10?
$10.
If I complete it, and then they say, yes, here. Better to say, if I don't do it, I'll give you your $10 back. Now give me the $10 now. And then you do it, and it helps us stay on the air. It's the New Life walk for New Life, or race for New Life, in your hometown, in your own way. You could do a little bit a day, and you can find out about it at newlife.com. But it goes to either buy a day of radio in your area at $110, or a week at $550, or a month at $2,200. That's the average price when we take all of our stations and put them together and add them up. That's what it costs for us to be on the air. So
it's a good thing I'm going to my small group tonight, because there's 8 people.
Yeah, download.
I'm going to get 7 tonight.
Download.
I'll sponsor you for $10.
Well, I'm glad to know I'm worth $10 to you, Henry.
Now, Henry, when I
you're
going to
do your
this,
own.
When I
don't
told
get
you
out
that
of
you're
it that
sponsor
easy,
me
you
for
need
$10
to get,
bucks?
You need to get your 11 people. Don't ride on my wings. You go get your own.
But
people.
You made a comment.
No,
when
wasn't
I brought riding. This up.
I was joining your jumping on your bus.
Okay,
there,
you jump to, on my bus.
Yeah.
I'll take your $10.
All right, take my $10.
Okay, double or nothing. You want to get. Why don't you get 22 people, Henry? I'm sure you know 22 people that would sponsor you. Come on, double or nothing.
22 people.
All right.
Uh-huh.
Now,
this is how it works.
That is how it works. And we hope that you'll be part of this. When we come back after this break, not only are we going to talk about stuff and go to your phone calls, but we're going to find out where Sherry has come up with all this energy, this fire.
Wonder and where that's
coming
from.
What is that? Because I haven't seen it previously. Have you seen it
like
this
before?
I've
had energy. No, just have a little more today.
I haven't seen it like
not like this.
I wonder if it has, could it have to do with fishing? No, she doesn't.
Probably
fish.
Not fish.
Maybe fishing for men.
didn't
Jesus do that?
He did. He was a fisherman of men. All right, we'll talk about that later. But anyway, I really hope you'll come be part of this 5K run walk, $30 registration fee, and just 11 people at $10. That's a day of radio in your area. We really do need your support, and this is a fun way to do it and tell people about New Life. And all of it gets done by April the 17th. So we'll take a break. We'll come right back after this for more of New Life Live. Glad you're with us today. And when we come back, we're going to find out what does Sherry mean by fishing for men? Is that a spiritual thing, or maybe not so much so? We'll find out after this. Stay tuned.
My clothes are falling off of me. People are making comments. I would pick up my food. I was running every day, 6 miles a day. And I got to the point where I was afraid to drink water because I didn't want to gain water weight.
10 million women and girls have eating disorders. Anorexia or bulimia isn't a diet, it's a disease.
My parents knew then that something had to be done immediately.
New Life's Eating Disorders Treatment Clinic can help.
You see that everybody that works there loves God and is wanting to help you.
For more information about our eating disorder treatment clinic, call New Life today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Find hope for your child to begin healing and embrace life. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I decided that I wanted to work with eating disorders and help save people's lives on a daily basis.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
I know that with God and Renuda that my life was spared.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here, Dr. Henry Cloud, and Sherry Denham. Okay, so Sherry, you said maybe fishing for men. Everybody here that listens regularly knows that you're single. We haven't talked about that singleness, and the only reason we do is it's a great example for other people that may be also single.
No, we did talk about it a few times, right?
Earlier.
We were on the show together.
But not recently.
Right.
And just to bring everybody up to speed, I kind of asked her, what was going on in that arena of life?
Yeah.
And at that point, you know, we started talking about, I challenged her to the dating program.
Mm-hmm, right? Based on your book, right?
And so we've talked about that a few times.
Yeah.
And then today she walks in and, you know, this like flashing lights and lightheartedness.
So what is that all?
And I said, game on. And they were like, whoa, what's going on?
She is in the game.
What is happening here?
Well, you know, I think...
It was your 25th birthday coming up.
I like that, Henry. Yeah. Yes, it is my 25th.
Yeah.
Yes. No, actually, I've told my friends, you know, that Henry's a bit of a Navy SEAL, and I think God brought him into my life at this point in my life for a reason, because I got really stuck, really disenchanted and hurt and frustrated in the world of dating. Because it's been a challenge. And
that's
so
an easy
I unplugged for a while.
To come to.
You know, I unplugged.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started the dating challenge that you had laid out of your book. And you had just encouraged me, and you had encouraged Steve, you know, and others to just go out and date 20 different people. Just kind of get your numbers up. And But don't put your roots down anywhere.
Right.
You know?
And now you're not looking for the one, and you're not, it's not a safari where you're trying to, you know, get the trophy or something. And it's not about getting married. It's not about finding a mate.
Right.
It's about the process of enjoying dating.
Right. So, you know, I think what happens is it gets hard. And my tendency is to want to put my roots down.
Right.
I want to put my roots down, but I want to put them down early, really early, even maybe before I know all the factors that might be a part of that person's life.
We have calls like that.
Yes, we do.
Yeah. I mean, hello. Welcome
to my
world.
So you woke up. You woke up.
Yeah, because I painfully did step in, and then some things surfaced, and then I had to make a decision, a tough decision, to step out again. And I thought, wow, had I just continued to do my journey, I would have gotten to know those things and maybe had an honest conversation without having put my heart more in. And it would have avoided having pulled out and some time lost, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because I, you know, I did get to know someone well and deeply, and yet I thought, okay, there's something in the way that needs to be worked on. And so, but it's much harder to get out once you're in than to continue to get to know people and then begin to make some choices, healthy choices from those group of gentlemen. So I'm back out, and this time I'm going to stay on task. I'm going to really take on your challenge seriously. And not that I wasn't serious the last time, but it gets hard.
But
that's the truth.
I mean,
is it gets hard, and I want to put my roots down.
Very cool.
Yeah.
But the reality is that, you know, when we started talking about this, I got pushback from you on a number of things, as I do often about the book and the program
Certainly.
that it lays out. But those are there for a reason. And what you find, I think, is once you start to kind of get into it and do what it says, there's really good reasons for those steps.
Yeah.
But it's hard. I mean, it's a growth. It's really a growth program, not a, quote, dating program.
So to sum up,
right.
It causes movement.
What do you say to a single woman who's saying, it's hard out there? What do you say to her?
I'd say, honey, I understand. I'm there with you.
Yeah.
But I think there's wisdom in, I think women, I'm just going to speak to us women folk right now. I think women tend to engage quickly. They want to be picked.
Right.
We're not so good at choosing. Some of us don't even feel like it's our right to choose. It gets flippy floppy. Like yeah. We think it's all about, I want to get picked. I want to get picked. So yeah. When we're with someone, they want to pick us. So I say you are in the choosing mode. You get to select. You
sure
get to
do.
Meet these men. And you get to make a good decision. Just like they do.
Exactly.
It's kind of like farming.
If you don't live in an arranged marriage country where your father does it for you, then you get to pick.
And it's okay to do that.
You know, this last Bachelor thing that closed up in March where the guy picks this one lady, her name was Emily, it was kind of a flippy-floppy kind of deal there because you got the sense that he might pick her, but she might not be so willing
to be
picked.
Chosen.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And
by him.
Yeah. So sure enough, they come back. And 6 weeks later, because the thing was taped 6 weeks prior, and she's not signing up for marriage.
Mm.
So it wasn't so much of these desperate women and they
right.
get picked by the guy. It was a very sharp, bright woman who was saying, until some of this stuff, like this anger thing you've got,
mm-hmm.
gets cleaned up, we're not
going forward.
Yeah.
It takes a strong woman to do that.
You bet.
It really does. To just say, okay, I'm going to go ahead and pass. You do your work. I'll continue to do mine. And maybe things will meet up at some point down the road. But, you know, we yeah. don't have to be desperate. And I think some of women tend to feel like if I say no to this gentleman or if I don't choose to be with him more, he's going to go away and then I'll be left with no one.
Well, that's a problem. I mean, you shouldn't be starting with no one.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's the whole thing. That you've got a date from a connected community of strength where you don't need a relationship to end loneliness in your life.
Mm-hmm.
You're not a lonely person. Lonely people should not date. That's just a bad recipe, right? Because the choices you make out of need are desperation choices.
Yeah.
You've got to make choices out of fullness.
Yeah, because you close your eyes to things. You don't want to see
it. Yeah, you don't want to see
right.
that.
Right, right.
You know?
Instead of just keeping them open and going, is this the best choice for myself?
Right, pick the one that stands out in a crowd, and that requires a crowd.
Yeah.
A crowd of one, it's easy to stand out.
Right? We could just go on forever.
And we won't, because callers are going
to
call in.
We're going to go to Jody
in
Denver.
When Steve was single, he was interested in this topic. But
I'm very interested. She's obviously just avoided Mr. Wrong, and that's great. Jody from Denver listens on the Internet. How are you, Jody?
Hi, I'm doing okay.
Tell us what's going on. How could we help you today?
Okay, I've tried to write my questions out so you can just get to the heart of the matter.
Okay.
I had an affair after 23 years of marriage, and my parents, especially my mother, basically took my husband's side because it appears that the moral failure trumps her relationship with me. And she did things like she got really involved in this whole ordeal. She hired a private investigator who followed us for months. The other man lost two jobs because my ex-husband went to his work and threatened to go to the newspaper. And she gave my husband money to retain a lawyer. I'd say she shunned me in public sometimes. And I need to say she is a very, very successful woman in her field, probably the most successful woman in her field in the country.
Okay.
And to disagree with her in the past for me has been like disagreeing with Jesus himself.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's just like she's used to getting what she wants. And it's just been humiliating. I've had my email hacked. She's just been punitive over and over again. And I don't know what to do with her. And I just feel like staying away. And yet I don't know about more alienation between us. She's given my husband, this is one other thing, she's given him like sporting event tickets to take our boys to events and purposely not give them to me because I gave the other man, these were company tickets.
What happened to the other guy? What happened to you two?
Well, I've pulled away, and I'd say there's not as, I've tried to be the one, because he's all in still, you know, if I was willing, but I know that's not the right thing to do, and I've really tried to stop contact. There's occasional texting, but there's nothing in person.
Well, you know, the way I look at it is it's either you're in there or you're not. And when
I'm probably in there still.
When you're texting, it's just a matter of time till something else happens. You really do have to, if you want your life to get back on track, you have to eliminate that contact altogether. What does your husband say about any potential for you two to be back together?
Oh, he is angry.
Sure.
After he moved out, he went to war with me. There was nothing peaceful about it. It was horrible. He's told anyone and everyone that'll listen for 30 seconds what happened.
That's too bad that that's.
He's now dating my youngest son's teacher, and I have to see her all the time. And
what's the message to other people that are tempted to get into affairs?
I know. I think I could write a book.
And what would the message be?
What would the title be?
It's heartbreaking. I mean, I just feel for my boys.
Yeah.
And they didn't ask for any of this.
Right.
So you know, as much as miserable as I was, I was miserable. It's a hard call for me because
you guys are separated or what?
Do what?
Yeah. What is the status of things?
Oh, we're divorced as of December 3rd. He filed.
Okay.
And
what's
I think he did it very impulsively. He was mad and he did it. And he's too prideful to go back.
What's the question for us then?
What do I do? Well, first one is my parents, especially my mother. I don't know where to go from this point. I'm just so hurt by her.
Well, do you think one of the reasons that you got involved with this guy is that because of your difficulty in connecting with your mother, you've just had a hard time connecting with other women over your life?
You know, I have. And the funny thing is, well, it's not funny, but since this has all happened, since I've been divorced, I've had more friendships and stronger friendships because most people didn't like my husband. He's very abrasive. And
well, just aside from that, though, you know, if
you're talking about you and women,
if you had those relationships, you would have had someone to say to you, don't call back or don't go to that restaurant. Don't let this happen. And they might have said something really radical. For the sake of your children, don't do this, which I think is probably how you're feeling. For the sake of the children, I wish this had never happened.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's a great place to start with your husband, is for him to hear that you wish it had never happened.
Yeah, he doesn't hear anything anymore. He just he curses at me, screams in the
house. Anyway, the question about your mom, what do you want?
Yeah. Well, I've always sensed that she was conditional in her love.
What do you want?
I wish she was somebody else, but she's not.
No.
So,
okay. I'm not talking about changing reality.
Some kind of relationship that's more than superficial. You know, I mean, I can be around her and give her the grandkids, but it's
okay. So the obvious thing to do, and I want to find out if you've done this, because if it is, then there's step two. But the obvious thing to do would be to tell Mom you want to talk to her and to tell her, you know, I understand there's been a lot of water under the bridge and all the mistakes I made and this, that, and the other. What I would like to do is I would like for us to have a good relationship going forward. What would it take to do that?
Mm-hmm. And then ask her one time what she needed from me. And she said, I need eye contact from you. That was the first thing she said. And respect.
All right. Well, I would, before you start asking her particulars, I would start with, you know, the old saying, begin with the end in mind. Tell her what you desire. Say, I want to have a good long-term relationship with you. I want us to be friends. I apologize for whatever I've caused. I want you to forgive me, but going forward, I want to have a good relationship. What would that take? And then you get the specifics. And then you figure out which of those you can live with and which you can't. And you talk about them and you relate to her given the limitations that she has or doesn't have. But I wouldn't go in with expectations for her to be different than she's been for the last however many years.
48
years. Probably longer. She's 48?
No, I am. She's 73.
Okay, well then, probably 73 years. She's got this style pretty much down. And unless something strikes her to change it.
But Jody, we know this is really more about you, isn't it?
Because well, yeah, there's definitely.
The very thing you want from your mom, to not be superficial, is the very way that you're living right now.
Well, we'll talk about that when we come back.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433. Or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-639-5433.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places. And New Life and membership and club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense. And I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
We're back. Sherry just said, as we were closing up that segment, that it's all about you. Is that what you said to Jody?
Yeah. Jody, it really, I mean, when it comes back, it's about us, right? And
right.
When Henry asked you what you wanted, what you were longing for with your mom, you said, well, I don't want to be superficial, right? But part of the behaviors, the patterns that you've invited us into just in the phone call is probably staying superficial with your husband, right? Wouldn't have had an affair unless there was some vulnerability there. Maybe even superficial with the gentleman you had the affair with, superficial with your mom, and kind of disconnected from other women. And so until we start to look at our part, intimacy, which is not being superficial, okay? Intimacy is going below the waterline. It's knowing someone else and being known by them. Two sides of the coin. And so I'm wondering if which side of that coin you're not so good at.
Well, I can say since all this happened, and it's like I really feel like I don't have any secrets anymore, because another thing he did was to share just pretty much anything that was ever private with my parents. And so I think they feel like they don't even know who I am. But since I feel like everything's been divulged about me, I'm an open book more than I've ever been.
And so maybe that open book, The Season of Your Life, is about wake-up call for you. to say, it's not what I, my hope for you is that you would go in and do some deep work to figure out why you're so guarded, why you're so protected, why your husband didn't know what ache was in your heart, which led you to the arms of another man.
Yeah. Okay. It's, can I ask a quick question?
Sure.
It was so out of character for me, and I didn't feel like myself during this period of time. Mm-hmm. Like I was in a almost like a fog. Is that normal? Or
it's common.
Yeah.
There are a lot of different styles of it, but I think what you just described is what Sherry was saying to you, that you know, authenticity is when all of you shows up wherever you are. And so if you're not being yourself in this relationship, there was a bunch of you that wasn't showing up in that relationship, which if it had shown up, it probably wouldn't have felt like it felt for as long as it did. And the idealization and all that would have given way to either true intimacy or, you know, the problems that you felt probably with your husband. That's why getting integrated and being whole wherever you show up in life is the best medicine that you can have and the best immunization against picking bad relationships. Because we pick bad anything, relationships, philosophies, jobs, whatever, friends. We make bad choices out of our own disintegration or lack of integration or lack of integrity.
My counselor said, after listening to me for a long time, she said that I married my mother.
So Steve was right on, wasn't he?
That whole integration thing.
Yeah, so you got to do your work. You got to look at your own heart, and you got to start building relationships with other women so you can create some healing and safety for your heart. So it's going to teach you how to connect better men.
Yeah, I would say this. If you want your life to be better, you need to force yourself to get in some support groups and other things.
I'm in divorce care.
With women.
That's really good.
With women.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah. That's, I just feel like, do you feel like I just made a mess of so many people's lives, and I know God is good, and he's bigger than all this.
Well, you know, you might want to tell your mom that. You might want to tell her, I realize I made a mess of a lot of people's lives, and you just did the best that you thought to try to stop all that, and I hope we can have a relationship together.
Yeah, I don't want you to let me go, Mom. Even though I did something that was hurtful, please don't let me go. Hang in there with me. Hope with me. Believe in me. Trust that I want to heal.
Right. Yep. All right. Well, let me send you a copy of Healing is a Choice. I hope that will help you, and I'm also going to send you Necessary Endings, because it will help you with the residual relationship you've got there with this guy that you want to stop immediately. Let's go to Kate from Denver, Colorado. Hello, Kate. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Henry Cloud and Dr. Sherry Denham. How could we help you today?
Hi, Steve.
Hello.
I just finished reading Necessary Endings, and I'm still struggling with my question has to do with how to know when you're done with therapy and how to respond with my situation is that I have a crush on my therapist.
Mm-hmm.
I've had a crush on him since, like, November.
Okay.
Since November?
How do I handle that?
How long have you been in therapy?
Since last April.
Since April. And then you had a crush on him. What? Generally, that doesn't mean a necessary ending. It means generally it's something to be talked about and worked through and understood and stuff like that.
Have the two of you talked about it?
What?
So I shouldn't stop having him as a therapist yet?
Well, I don't know enough what's going on, whether it's good or bad or helpful or not helpful, but that one particular issue actually can be the source of a lot of understanding and healing and integration sometimes if it's handled correctly.
Okay.
Does he know that you have feelings for him?
Yes, he does.
And what does he say?
He's handling it pretty well. He's not reciprocating as far as I know.
Right, but is he trying to help you understand them and deal with them and all of that
stuff?
Hold
on. We'll take a break.
You think I'm a great person, full of life and fun to be around. You say you love me, but if you knew what was going on in my head, I don't think you'd love me anymore. I saw my first girly magazine when I was 7, and I was hooked. I look at porn every chance I get. I've tried to stop over and over again. Sometimes it works for a couple days, but then I fall right back into my old ways.
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I want to stop. I need help. I can't do this on my own.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. Experience New Life in the Holy Land June 6th through the 16th. Join Steve Arterburn, Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Sherry Denham, and Mylon Yurkovich of New Life Live for a daily time of teaching. You'll have the experience of a lifetime visiting the places where the events of Scripture really happened. Jerusalem, the Sea of Galilee, the Mount of Olives, Masada, and much more. Not only will you see the sites that bring history and Scripture to life, but Stephen Curtis Chapman will perform a once-in-a-lifetime private concert. If there was ever a trip you don't want to miss, this is it. Experience New Life in the Holy Land June 6th through the 16th. Call and sign up today at 1-800-223-3855. Or for more information, visit newlife.com. Visit Israel. You will never be the same.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Sherry Denham. Anything else that you want to add to what we've been talking with Kate about? What?
Well, Henry, you had a great question,
yeah,
Kate.
Yeah, I was curious at this point. This started in November, and we're well into the spring now. So why would leaving be the option that you're thinking about now, as opposed to you guys have talked about this and you're working through it and you have, you know, some understanding, but instead you're thinking about leaving as the best choice? Why is that?
Well, I don't know. I just, he talks about thinking that I'm maybe almost done with therapy and I'm almost getting to where I don't need therapy anymore.
Oh.
And then
so it's not really related to the crush. He thinks you're done.
Well, yeah, and then every time he talks about that, that's when the romantic feelings are the strongest, because I don't want him to leave and I don't know how I'm going to live without him.
Okay. Well, see, normally if you have a dynamic like that, that it's triggered by a separation or an abandonment or he's going to go away, that means something. See, romantic feelings should really be triggered more by closeness and attachment, not by abandonment. And so if you see them triggered by abandonment, I would talk to him about that and try to understand what that means about you.
Yeah, I don't know if there's a way to eventually leave therapy without feeling like I'm losing my sanity, because I don't have...
That you're losing your... Did you say sanity?
Yeah, because I don't have him to talk to anymore.
Well, what therapy should actually do is to help you establish sanity in your life, which would mean that whatever issues are going on that leave you that isolated in your real life, therapy would be helping you create more connectedness and stability and groundedness in a community where you could have, you know, any kind of loss, and it would be a very, very sad thing, but it wouldn't destroy your sanity. If it would destroy your sanity, generally speaking, that's not the time to leave therapy if the therapy's going well.
If you stay in there, one day you should have the insight and able to say, oh, no wonder I had those feelings for him. No wonder it was so difficult for me to even think about leaving. No wonder I thought I'd lose my mind if you left. You can develop insight here.
So I wonder, Kate, what if you were to say to him, why would you say I'm finished with therapy if I'm having so much trouble over letting go of my therapy? Just call him. Ask him. Why do you think I'm done? When every time we talk about my being done, I like start having these romantic feelings for you. Just take that into him. Does that make sense?
Yeah, so say, like, why would you think I'm done if I'm
having romantic feelings?
Yeah.
Yeah. That would be a great.
Because you're not done yet.
Or that you're going to lose your sanity.
Yeah, that's a good statement.
If you tell a therapist that you're going to lose your sanity, they probably, hopefully, would think, gosh, we better talk about this.
Yeah. And if they said, okay, well, we're done. I can't imagine that. All right.
You might want another opinion.
Okay. You've read Necessary Endings. I'm going to send you Healing is a Choice, and I hope that that will be a blessing to you. Let's talk over here to Cecilia from Seattle, Washington, KGNW. Hello, Cecilia. Welcome to New Life. How are you?
Fine, thank you. Thanks for taking my call.
How could we help you?
I've been having problems with a teenage daughter. And well, she's 19 now, and she's been living ways that I don't approve of. She's not going to college. She graduated from high school. She has a steady boyfriend now. She works full time at a daycare, and she comes home and goes with this guy and doesn't get dropped off till midnight. And I just feel that she's throwing her life away. She doesn't go to church, or, you know, just the way I raised her. It's just changed. Everything has changed, it seems like. And I felt like telling her she had to move out, and she has a full-time job now and doesn't want to go to college. And
well, let me ask you this. What's the interaction with her and her boyfriend and you and her father? And is there any positive contact that's being made here between boyfriend, you, and the dad?
It bothers her father also. He gets really angry, and he doesn't see this guy as being her type. He's only 18. She's 19.
Has he had any kind of conversation with him about that?
I don't believe so. She doesn't want him to talk to him, and she just really secludes herself with this guy. As soon as he shows up at the door, she runs out the door to take off with him.
Well, she would have to if there's going to be yelling and all that stuff going on, right?
Yeah, I guess she's afraid of what I would say. And
well, okay, here's the point. More rejection of her probably isn't going to get you what you want. But more... not necessarily acceptance of him, but more interaction with him and input into him where she says, wow, they're really trying. She may be able to actually see some things that are problematic versus if you go after him all the time, she's going to defend him. So I love to tell people in your situation, Dad needs to form a relationship with this guy.
Okay. I'll talk to him.
But
Hang on. I
got something else I'm a little more worried about. Just on the surface, you've got a kid that's 19 years old. She's gainfully employed in a healthy kind of environment. She's working in a daycare center. That's a really service-oriented good thing. She shows up. She goes to work every day. She gets a paycheck. What's wrong with that?
Well, I see good in that, but I wanted her to go to college and get a career because I've struggled all my life.
Right.
I've always lived paycheck to paycheck. And
yeah.
I wanted to help her through college. I even moved where she would be really close to a college.
Yeah.
She said she didn't want that college. I don't know if she feels that I'm too controlling or what have you.
Right, but like what? Why doesn't she want to go?
She said she doesn't like that particular college, and I've named up several, and we were on a bus line where she could bus to different colleges, but she just says she doesn't know what she wants to take. I told her, well, figure that out as you're going, like take the English, the math, the, you know, general studies, but she has no interest.
What I would wonder is, that, you know, people figure out what they want to take and what they want to do when there's a general want to that they can feel that comes from themselves.
Yeah.
A desire that I want to go have a better job, or I want to go have a better career. I need to go try this and this and this. And if all the want to is coming from you, the first thing she may be trying to establish is her own sense of autonomy and choice making ability apart from you. And what you might want to do is let her work a job at whatever she is working at, and whatever that pays or aspirations it doesn't afford for her, to get a longing and a feeling of, gosh, I think I want more than this. And then you might have the timing for her to desire to go do something. But if it's all coming from you, then
it takes away her choice.
It takes away her drive. Mm-hmm.
She kind of feels like if she picks that, it's really your idea in the first place, instead of the desire coming from her own heart, because she's discontent, because she goes every day and is wiping those little noses and, you know.
There's a good chance that she wants to go to college, and at the same time, she doesn't want you to win.
Okay.
So as long as you're...
Good point.
As long as you're holding out what a win to you would be, taking those courses or getting enrolled and using the bus line and all this stuff, it kind of delays what might naturally evolve if you guys went back to a relationship together where, you know, one day she's thinking these people aren't so dumb. They're really smart.
But sometimes letting go of that is so scary. For parents to let go, it feels
hard.
Like death, you know?
I remember when I graduated from college and I wasn't quite sure if this is what I wanted to do. I was really kind of unimpressed with a lot of the stuff. And I told my dad, I'm not going to graduate school. I'm not doing anything. I'm going to get a job at a hospital. And I got a job at, it was $3 an hour. And I graduated.
Wow, that was a long time ago.
Graduated from college. I had to eat uneaten patient trays from the hospital in order to make it. And he's just looking at me going, I don't understand it. You got a college education, working for $3 an hour. Good luck. And he let me find my own path, but that's a value.
We'll be back.
Hi, everybody. Max Licato here. You know, I've been a pastor for over 25 years, and in the process, I've been fortunate to cross paths a few times with Steve Arterburn and his team at New Life. And I can tell you for a fact that these are good people doing real ministry work where the rubber meets the road. One of the ways they help people is through their New Life Weekend. The Apostle Paul writes about finding the transformation that comes from the renewing of your mind. That's what these folks at New Life specialize in. Whether you struggle with anger, unforgiveness, depression, grief, boundaries issues, maybe you've never worked through the pain of a past abortion, maybe you need a marriage tune-up, maybe your marriage is in crisis. Listen, these good people can help you. Call them today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 and ask about the New Life Weekend.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest. Particularly my relationship with God, I see Him in a more accurate form and begin to trust Him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
Take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are.
but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
All right, we are back. What would you guys like to send Cecilia? What do you think would be good, Henry? Good book, good resource. Help her with her daughter.
Oh, gosh.
With her husband. Connect with her.
You know, with all those different things, maybe it's going to sound like it doesn't really directly speak to one of those symptoms. Mm-hmm. But I would send them nine things. Nine things you simply must do.
Nine things you simply must do.
And what it's going to do is just kind of some wisdom things that you can have discussions with her about in life that don't have to do with trying to control one of her choices.
Okay. Nine things. It's coming your way. All right. Let's talk with Lorna from Peoria, Illinois, WPEQ. Hello, Lorna.
Hello.
How are you?
Too bad. Actually, I'm not very good, if I'm perfectly honest.
Well, thanks for getting honest with us, Lorna.
Well, you're actually better. Now, think about this. You're better than you were when you said not too bad. Because
okay.
You're more honest now, right?
Okay, Lorna, how could we help you? This is our final segment, so we do want to help you.
Okay, how can I respect and love my husband and God? And I would probably say more God. Like I should, because I guess I'm kind of mad at him because of the way he has created men to be so visual.
You don't like that?
You know what? I mean, I feel like I'm a big baby or something because I should just get over it. Or is it the cross that I just have to bear? Or should I just, you know, be still and murmur not like Jesus did? I mean, no, I don't like it, but... Do I just need to get over it?
Well, my question to you, Lorna, would be, has a very natural thing, like men being visually stimulated, has that caused pain in your life? Has that very natural thing become something that is unnatural and hurtful?
Oh, yes, definitely.
Well, how did this become such a problem? Because it actually could draw men to you, you know?
Okay, I'm married, and my husband and I are both 52, and I guess he has had a less problem. I mean...
There you go. Bingo.
Yeah.
Okay.
And, I mean, he is actually doing quite well. And, I mean, he went to Every Man's Battle, and we belong to a church, and he's doing quite well, but it has opened my eyes to what men are really like. I mean, where they can go very easily. And I'm thinking, why would any female want to be married? I mean, what's the point when they're constantly having to battle that?
Okay, now let me ask you, Lorna, let's cut to the chase here. Now tell me about your relationship with your dad and how that went for you.
My dad and I were very close. He was very, very protective, and he loved me dearly.
And now your husband seems like he's kind of set you out to pasture there. There's no protection, and he's doing his own lusting out there in the field.
Yeah. Although he has made a definite change, but now I feel like it's all been a joke, kind of, our relationship, and that... He kind of doesn't feel the grace of God. He's worried he won't feel the grace of God.
Let me say one thing real quick. His lust problem was part of your relationship. It wasn't all of your relationship. It was a part of it.
Now, what does that mean?
Well, it means that you don't throw the whole thing down the tube. He really did love you, and some of the things you did were absolutely things you did without his lust involved, but sometimes, like, he did. but it was a part of it. Not all, so don't go from it was all great to it was just the worst thing in the world. It was a big joke. Don't throw it all away.
Did you guys have a very intimate connection emotionally?
You know, he was very busy at work. He has his own business, and he's successful. So he spent a lot of time at work, and I would say I probably raised the kids.
Okay, but again, were you guys very connected emotionally? On an ongoing kind of intimate way.
We were. I guess I thought we were, but I mean, even now he can't look at a young, pretty girl, and he just can't look at her.
All right, I'm gonna ask it again.
Okay.
Were you guys? Did you have a deep, abiding emotional connection with each other, where your heart felt full and you felt connected with and understood and supported and bonded and all of that stuff?
I would say maybe not totally, but I'm coming from a female point of view. So
okay, well,
it's like, did you feel seen and heard? Lorna, did you feel like he saw you and heard you?
I would say most of the time.
Lorna.
Yes.
I'm out of time.
I wish we had more time.
So I want to invite you and your husband to come to Washington, D.C. to the marriage conference. He went to Every Man's Battle. You haven't been to anything. And I think you've still got some anger and resentment and bitterness there that needs to be dealt with. And when it is, then you guys can connect, maybe for the first time, intimately, emotionally, spiritually.
But, you know, I guess I'm still kind of mad at God because it's such a huge deal. And why would God do that?
Well, because, first of all, what you're describing is a total, like, globalization of the whole male race, that's not true.
Yeah.
See, you're talking about a disconnected relationship, and you're acting like that's all that's available in the universe because God screwed it up so bad.
Okay.
And that's not the way it is. This is a particular dynamic that the two of you need to work out.
Right. Okay. I want to send you Every Heart Restored. And, of course, we've got a conference in September for people like you, Sherry. You're going to do it.
I'm
Every
do
Heart
it.
Restored.
Yes.
And I just hope and pray that she could go to that or they could both go to the marriage thing.
But you mean you're going to go talk?
She's going to talk.
Mm-hmm.
Talk women into connecting with this awful species of men?
Yeah, yeah. We're going to heal hurts
all
at
right.
that weekend.
This is the bib for the race that you download. It's our Race for New Life. And it's a $30 registration fee online at newlife.com. And if you get 11 people to sign up at $10 each, it pays for one day of average cost radio in your area. We're going to Israel in June. We have a marriage conference in May. We have Every Man's Battle every month. Lose It for Life at the end of the year. September, we have the Every Heart Restored session.
The Wives in the Battle.
Wives in the Battle is what it's called. So there's a workshop for you, and we have over 900 counselors around the country that we refer to, that we connect you with in our network. And I hope and pray that if you need some help, you'll call us. We have resources, books and tapes and CDs. For whatever you've got going on, we've got it. And if you think that you're one of those people that don't have a problem, well, that's the problem right there. You don't think you do. And we know that everybody's got something. You just can't get through this life without having something. And we want to help you with that. The number to call is 1-800-NEW-LIFE, or you go to newlife.com. If you could support us with a gift of $50 or more, I'll send you either the Life Recovery Bible or Every Man's Bible, either one. And if you join Club New Life, we send you a leather-bound Life Recovery Bible. Please call us right now. Gift of $50 or more, Life Recovery Bible or Every Man's Bible, our gift to you. Thanks. See you next time.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by getting you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you.
But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live.